Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Thursday afternoon, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And at this time, every Thursday, we bring in Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet. 31 thoughts, check that out. And you know what? He doesn't have the glorious beard anymore. It is gone. In fact, he put it in a trash bag and probably sent it to the North Pole. Santa could probably use some of that hair. Elliot, how you doing?
I'm going to carry that hair. Are you guys like wrestling guys? Are you guys wrestling fans?
Chase is the big wrestling fan.
So, Chase, we're joking that it was in a paper bag or a plastic bag. We're joking that we're going to carry it around like Big John Studd and Tara with Andre the Giant's hair from the mid-'80s.
Yep, that would work. That's exactly what you should do. That's funny.
So how weird was it?
The plastic bag of Andre's hair.
Yep.
How weird was it going through that? I mean, just that is a lot of hair, man. How long did it take?
It took me about half an hour.
Wow.
And, you know, someone advised me, and it was good advice. I watched a video first on YouTube about, you know, how do you shave a gigantic beard? Because I was wondering if I'd have to cut it with scissors first.
Yeah.
But they said, no, you can use a clipper as long as you attack it, not from the bottom, but like just from the top and shear it down. So it took me about half an hour. This is a sad truth, but it's maybe the most excited I've seen my wife in quite some time.
So she's glad that it's been shedded and it's gone.
It was so funny. I don't know if I mentioned this to you guys on a previous week or not, but There was a time about a couple of weeks ago where I was leaving the house to go to work, and I went to give her a kiss goodbye, and she's like, I don't even know where your lips are.
So
it was gnarly.
So how weird is it now? Just feel, are you constantly touching your face?
Yeah, it does weird. I'll tell you this, like, I didn't miss shaving. I'll tell you that much. Like, it's funny how quickly your day goes when you don't have to shave, and you feel like you have more time and more ability to do things. But yes, I do feel that a bit. But you know, it's the other really funny thing is that I had a lot of people who were either tweeting at me or texting me that you've got to get rid of. I love that thing. Keep it. Don't get rid of it. And then when they saw me after it was done, they were like, holy cow, you've lost weight. You look good. You look younger. You should have done it sooner. So, you know, it just goes to show that people have no idea what they want. You just have to do what you want to do and kind of go from there. It's a pretty funny world out there.
Tuesday night, Elliot, I had the honor and privilege to host a Predators recap season show with Pete Weber and Hal Gill, and Predators head coach John Hines called it, and we talked about something that he's preached on, just the mentality of the team. And you know, David Poile said in the press conference, the end of the year press conference, they got to get back to the Predator way and just all of that. Well, the mood did not get better here in this market when you see how easily Colorado dispatched Arizona, and in the fashion, that they did, especially the last two games, it was pretty embarrassing how bad it was for the Coyotes. What did you make of that series and how easy Colorado carved them up?
It was almost to me like, guys, that Arizona's Stanley Cup was when they beat you. Like they came back, they were all excited to play, and they played you guys pretty hard. Like we talked about this last week, I think that for the most part, you guys were the better team. I thought they were better against you guys than they were against, Colorado, obviously. But it seemed like, you know, every time something went badly for them in your series, they recovered or they handled it. Then, for whatever reason, that resiliency, it completely disappeared against the Avalanche. Like, someone I was talking to this morning made the comparison. It was like watching the Harlem Globetrotters against the Washington Generals. Like, that's how lopsided that series was.
Wow.
And, I just have to say that for whatever reason, it was almost like Arizona won their round. They were like, all right, we accomplished something here. And they just didn't have the push. Like, I understand why your fans are upset and annoyed after seeing that. But I don't look at it like oh, okay, like we would have been worse against if since Arizona did that, you know, Colorado would have beaten us in three games. I just think that the Arizona team that showed up to play you guys had no resemblance to the Arizona team that showed up to play the Avalanche for whatever reason.
Yeah, that's fair. So I just told you that Chase is, you know, the wrestling guy on the show. Willie is a guy that we call Coach Willie a lot because Willie, you know, is very cautious with everything. Willie is not going to just run and jump in the pool without checking if there's water in it, one, A, two, the temperature of the water. So he's, you know, he's very cautious. He does not go out there. I'm the one that'll throw out predictions, and he cringes, like, don't say that. You're going to jinx it. And we had Chris Mason on this time yesterday because we talked to Chris Mason on Wednesdays at 1 o'clock our time. And this happened during the show, Elliot, and I want to get your thoughts.
What a player. He has turned it up. Just not going to let him lose, it looks like. And speaking of that, Columbus looks like they've scored another goal here to go up 4-2. So that series looks like it's going to go to the next level. Congratulations. Well, it's not over yet, but good for them for bouncing back.
He almost threw out a congratulations.
I didn't say the full thing. I stopped myself from saying congratulations.
And
so the Coach Willie instinct kicked in at the last second there.
But at the end, when we got done with C-Mace, I turned to Willie on the air, and I was like, I can't believe you said that with 10.5 minutes to go. And as we know, Elliot, the rest is history.
Well, first of all, let me say that Willie's way of living life, that you should check if there's water in a pool before you dive in, I would say that's a good rule. I don't think that's, you know, overcautious or anything like that. I think that's just kind of a smart way to live. You know, first of all, I think that Tampa proved that whatever happened last year, they're not the same this year. And, you know, sometimes you get your face punched and, you know, how do you react to it? What do you learn? And I love John Cooper's line that, you know, he knew exactly how many days it was yesterday, 422 days or whatever it was since they'd lost to Columbus. You know, I make that, you know, they learn their lesson. You can have talent, but you also have to have will. I just don't think in sports, like, talent is never enough. It helps, and I don't think you can win without it, but you have to have the will. You have to have the grind. You have to have the mentality. And last year, Tampa took a punch in the face in game one, and they never recovered. And they had to sit there. And you know what? Like, I know, like, if you guys remember last year's NHL Awards show, Kenan Thompson for Saturday Night Live, he hosted, and he was great.
Yep.
But he was ripping the Lightning in his monologue. Like, he was just trashing them. And Kucherov's there, he's getting the Hart Trophy, and Vasilevsky's there, he's getting the Vezina Trophy, and Cooper's there, he's up for the Adams Trophy. And, you know, they're all sitting there as this comedian is tearing into them. And, like, they knew in advance, but that still sucks. Like, that's hard. And I think those guys, like, they were determined that they weren't going to let that happen again. And you look at their team, like, look at some of the guys who had their big series. Barkley Goodrow, fourth liner, had a big goal. Blake Coleman, third, fourth liner, had a big goal. Yates Gore, third liner, had a big series. Shattenkirk, who's a depth defenseman on that team, had a huge goal yesterday. There's no passengers. Your stars have to be stars, but you can't have your bottom pairing D and your bottom six forwards getting caved in. And, like, when I look at Tampa, I see a team. They've got incredible talent, and they've got a lot of ability there, but they have a lot of – they have 23 guys who are good, and they grind. Like, they really grind, and I think that's the difference. Like, that Columbus team, you guys know them. They're hard to play against. And that was a closer than a 4-1 series, but they had to work for every inch to win it. And that says to me that they're a very different team. Last year, I'll tell you this though: if everything plays out in a certain way, it could be Tampa, Boston next round, and one really good team is going to be going out very early.
Hmm. Elliot Friedman is with us from Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot, I can't remember which analyst said this on the telecast last night, or I didn't even remember if it was a post-game show or what, but after the game between the Flyers and the Canadiens, where it got a little nasty at the end, somebody said, I've been waiting for a game like this.
Yeah.
It was pretty interesting to me that, as I thought about it, there hasn't been a lot of the real chippiness that you would maybe normally see in first round of playoff series. Is that a fair observation?
You know, I think the games have been hard and tough. Like, I think they've been harder and tougher and edgier than we thought. But yes, last night was the first one I thought really looked like it was going to flirt with going over the line. And, you know, like when that game was over, they're having a hearing today for Matt Niskanen for the cross-check to Brendan Gallagher's face. And they also didn't like, there was a play when Montreal scored the empty netter, Sean Couturier from Philly kind of flattened one of Montreal's players, Lekkonen, where he couldn't see it. And they didn't like that either. So I do think that was the first game that really looked like it was going to boil over. So my answer would be that I think the games have been edgier, but I never thought they were in danger of getting out of control until the end of that game last night. Like the last couple minutes of that game had a chance to really go haywire. And when Voracek jumped into the pile onto Shea Weber, I thought Shea Weber was going to pile drive him like to the parking lot.
Oh.
And I couldn't believe
we have all seen, we have all seen that trigger get hit with Shea Weber in the past. I'll never forget what Cody Franson said to me when he was young, because he grew up a little younger than Shea Weber, but played like youth baseball with him and stuff. He said, "You learn very early not to poke the bear." I immediately thought of that quote when Voracek jumped in there. I would have loved to see if Weber could have gotten free. Because he would have snapped. I think it really would have gone to another level, but they never really got him separated.
You know Shea Weber. He could have gotten free if he wanted to get free, but he just kept his cool. Like, that's one of those where, and this happens a lot in the NHL, like, you can't always get revenge in the playoffs, so you take a number and you say, I'll see you next year.
Elliot, you've got Vancouver that is now inched ahead of St. Louis in a series that has really had great twists and turns. It's
yep.
For an outside observer, it has been extremely compelling. Do they have one more win in them? I think this is the most compelling series of the first round.
I would agree with you. You know, when it was 3-1 last night, I don't think there's like, I'll tell you this, like, I like to gamble, and sometimes when a team gets down, I like to put money on them, depending on what the odds are, just to say, okay, do I really believe this team can come back and do something here? And I wasn't putting any money on the Canucks last night. Like, when they were down 3-1 to St. Louis, I was like, okay, game 6 on Friday night, and we'll see what happens. Like, that was a shocking, shocking turn of events that the Blues blew that game. I think it's going to be, right now, guys, like, it's almost attrition. They lost Tyler Myers, one of their defensemen, with a shoulder injury. I don't think he's going to be back this series. They lost another key defenseman, Alex Edler, last night. Took a skate to the ear. Now, they think he's going to be okay to play tomorrow night. You know, a goalie can win you a game here, but if they're missing both those defensemen for any time, a long period of time, that's a really tall order. Like, those guys are important players for Vancouver.
Elliot, what have the ratings been like? We were just talking about sort of the carnival all-day atmosphere that we get as a sports fan here, watching, and you can mix in other sports as well, but almost from noon to midnight, basically in the central time zone, you can watch continuous action. So what have the ratings been like in Canada to the NCAA basketball tournament here, that feel of, you know, you're sneaking out for lunch, you're doing whatever you can to go watch a little bit?
They've been pretty good. Like, it always, like, the better the Canadiens teams do, the better it is for us. You know, Toronto going out in the first round, or not even going out in the first round, but in the qualification round, that hurts, because our biggest rating games in the first round were Toronto's games. So but if Vancouver advances, that's huge for us. So they've been good, but you always want them to be better. Like, for example, in Canadian history,
I think the most watched sporting events are the 2010 Olympic gold medal game where Canada beat U.S. in overtime, the 2002 gold medal game where Canada beat the U.S. in 5-2, and I think third was Vancouver-Boston game 7 in 2011, and then I think comes the Raptors winning the NBA title last year. So, like, the farther a Canadian team goes, the better our numbers get. But so I would say, like, I've been watching the numbers in the States, and I guess NBC is really happy with them. I'd say they're probably a little happier with their numbers than we are so far. But if a Canadian team can move on, our numbers will go up pretty big.
Elliot Friedman is with us from Sportsnet, joins us every Thursday at 1 o'clock. So obviously the Islanders have a soft spot in our heart with Barry Trotz and so many years spent here, and we've been watching them. I have been, even going back to the qualifying round, I've been fascinated by them because that is the epitome of a Barry Trotz coach team, that just they're scrappy, mm-hmm. they never give up, and maybe other teams have more talent than they do, but they're showing and looking like they're going to try and close it out tonight against Washington and move on. But what have been your thoughts about that Islanders team so far?
Well, I told you I like to wager, right?
Yeah.
My wife is listening to all this, and she's like, is our mortgage going down the hill as she listens to all this betting I'm talking about? But I put a couple dollars down on the Islanders before the playoffs started. And, you know, I think the biggest question about them is, are they going to be able to score enough to win the Stanley Cup? But the thing I liked is, and you guys know this from having Trotz, is structure. Like, I just figured that, you know, we're coming out of unprecedented circumstances. I thought the Islanders would just, their system, they'd know what they had to do. Like, everybody on that team, they knows what their role is. They know what they're supposed to do. And I thought that would really help them. Like, I didn't think, I think they're 7-2 or 8-2, including their exhibition game, since we've gotten into the bubble, which is pretty impressive. I don't know if I expected that, but I look at them and I see a team where everybody knows what their role is and everybody knows what they're supposed to do. And I think that helps in a time like this. And so far that's been true. I don't think they'll be shaken by losing that other game the other night. I don't think that's going to have any effect on them at all. And I mean, it's going to be really tough for Washington to win three more against that team. They just don't make too many mistakes. I think they're really smart.
Do you feel like, and it may not be this year because this is such a weird offseason, but Lane Lambert has been an assistant for Barry Trotz going back to his time here in Nashville. He went through with him in Washington and now he's with the Islanders. Do you feel like his time is coming, that he's going to get a shot as a head coach?
To be honest, I'm surprised he hasn't gotten it yet. You know, I really am. I know he was close. When Colorado hired Jared Bednar after Patrick Waugh quit in August, Lambert had a really good shot at that job. Didn't get it, obviously. I'm surprised. You know, I just think that, you know, for one thing, he played. You know, for another thing, you know, he's a pretty respected guy. For a third thing is he learned at the feet of, you know, I don't know what you want to call him, Obi-Wan, Barry Trotz. Like, he's learned at the feet of a guy who knows how to take teams and make them better than the sum of their parts. So, like, to me, I'm surprised he hasn't gotten it yet. I wonder, with the Islanders' success, does it help him some more? But I just have to tell you, like, honestly, I'm surprised it hasn't happened for him yet.
As a media guy, we talked about the Columbus and Tampa Bay series earlier, but when you John Tortorella, everybody knows that Torts will be Torts, and he has that personality. And I've said on the show that there are times where when he's in one of his moods and has the one-liners, you know, I think it's funny. I know a lot of people, though, they don't appreciate it. They want the head coach to answer questions in the good times and the bad times. He went through two questions yesterday, and he said, I'm not here for the feel-good stuff, and he walked off. How do you view that stuff from Tortorella?
Most of the time I'm with you. I'm like, that's just him. And, you know, if I was one of the reporters in Columbus who had to deal with it every day, I'd get tired of it. you know, there's no question about that. I would get to the point where I just know myself as a person. I would just say something at some point. Like if you have, it would just bother me if I did it on a day-to-day basis. My dealings with Troy Rell have been excellent. I really like dealing with him, but I don't deal with him every day. The one thing I didn't like about yesterday is I think when you get knocked out, that's when you have to stand up and you have to answer the questions. Like when you get knocked out of the playoffs, I think you have to give more in that moment. I know it sucks. Like losing sucks. There's nothing worse in sports from a competitive point of view than losing. It sucks. But, you know, everybody has to go through it. Like, these are weird times, but, you know, the players have to stand up there in front of their stalls and answer the questions. At some point in time after your season ends, David Poyle has to sit in front of all the media and he's got to answer the questions. I don't think in that particular situation the coach should be any different. I think that in that particular moment, I think that you have to answer the questions and talk about your team. And even if you don't feel like it's touchy-feely, that's the toughest moment of the year, and people should be expected to answer.
Elliot, good stuff as always. You have a great rest of your week, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, guys. Have yourselves a great week.
Thank you. That is Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet and 31 Thoughts, and we always enjoy our conversation with him every Thursday at this time. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't forget Nashville SC back on the pitch this Saturday taking on Atlanta United. 6 p.m. will be the start time. Broadcast will be on 94.9. Pregame starting at 5:45. Good stuff there from Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet. He brought up betting a lot in that segment. Speaking of that, do we have any new word on where that's headed here in this state? I mean, we're well into 2020. I thought we were getting pretty close to that, and here we sit in now in the latter part of August, and where are we on that front? Do we know?
Yeah, we're close. Looking like somewhere before November 1st is what they're saying, that it will be live no later than November 1st here in this state. So that right now they're going through. So the lottery, just for background, the lottery is in charge of all of this. So the Tennessee Lottery, Rebecca Hargrove, who's the CEO, said that there are four sports books that have submitted applications to come in at the same time. They want to launch them all at the same time. That's the idea. And so they got to go through background checks and different things like that. They hope to have that done by the middle of September. So I've seen that it could be mid-October, but no later than November 1st. Now, I will say that, yes, I'm glad they're okay. We have a date. We know when it's going to happen. But they own a calendar, don't they? I mean, don't they know that football season starts?
It's kind of not great timing. You wouldn't start up a sports radio station, sports talk radio station, on November 1st. I don't think.
And I think that that's what has been, because this got approved a long time ago. And, I mean, we've been at this process for over a year now, and we're just getting to the point where it's going to go live. And so I know that's the frustrating part. All that said, I'm glad it's here. It's getting done. It's going to happen this year. And granted, there have been some other things going on, so I understand that with the pandemic and all of that. But I'm glad to kind of know, all right, no later than November 1st. Looks like it's going to be sometime in October that we'll have the sports books on apps. They're not physical sport books, but on apps, that they'll be ready to go.
Just point of reference, we're just over a week away from celebrating our 9-year anniversary. Like I said, that'll be in August. That's typically the way you would do it, right before, you know, going into the fall season of sports. Just kind of an odd time when you think about, you know, late October or whatever, November. Think about all the stuff that will have been going on. By then, hockey's done, right? So you've missed that completely.
Mm-hmm.
Where's baseball on that front? What I haven't seen their end dates.
they're hoping to be done, or almost done, maybe a couple days into November if they get backed up. There's been talk of putting the postseason in a bubble, or at least the league championship series and the World Series, to increase your chances of.
Oh, now they
want to
talk about bubbles, huh?
Well, they had to learn.
Well, that's been out there for
a
couple weeks now.
I know.
Well, they're learning on the fly, right? What's our best chance of completing this season? That has been tossed out there. I haven't heard a lot about it, since that's been floated out there. But so, Darren, I think that they're hoping to be done right around the end of October, like they always are. That's what they're hoping, because that's their prime. That's when their TV partners have the time set aside. It'll kind of skew it. And then we know the deal with football. We're hoping that there's games being played, but how many? I guess the NBA would be done right around there too, or finishing up. Maybe NBA Finals right around, I guess they'd be done, right?
They should be done.
They'd be done by November 1st, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So just wanted to get everybody up to speed on that. And what did it cost, by the way, to be, you said there were four?
Yeah.
Four entities. Wasn't it like
$750,000
yep.
as an annual price tag for the license?
Yeah.
Which, in the grand scheme of things, I think they'll be able to cover that, but it's still a lot.
no question, but still, yes, that's a lot. That is $3 million right there. And just saying, hey, we want to be a part of this. It's kind of like a franchise fee, right? I mean, the NHL, made a ton of money. The owners made a ton of money off Vegas, and they'll make even more money off Seattle. And that's probably what baseball, circles back around to baseball when talking with Paul Byrd about possibly the future of Major League Baseball in this city, because of what we've gone through this year, because of all the lost revenue, that may speed that process up, because these owners, they don't really sit back and be like, oh, shucks. My bank account took a major hit. It'll all come back around. They're going to get aggressive on ways to get their money back.
Yeah.
And that'll be a quick fix for Major League Baseball owners to get money back in their pockets, and that is – add some new franchises with some fees.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it looks like
you remember how early Adam Silver jumped on the whole get a piece of the action for legal sports betting.
Sure.
I think that'll be an interesting thing to follow, too, just in the state of Tennessee.
Yeah, and it's looking like it's going to be DraftKings, BetMGM. They're two of them, FanDuel, that they're going to be a part of this, so at least at the beginning. But yeah, I mean, this is going to grow, so that's going to be a fun part of it. But yeah, so I was reading some quotes. November, no later than November 1st, they hope to have it a couple weeks before that, so middle of October, which you're getting into the heart of football season, we'll be able to bet here in Tennessee,
which will be a big change. Speaking of the betting angle, so much comes out of Vegas. I've been flipping around today during the course of the show, had it a lot on NFL Network because they've been going around training camps and the Titans have been featured. Some, of course, I don't know what they're saying because it's on mute, but they've also been showing the new stadium in Vegas. It's nice.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it's nice. Where the Raiders are going to play, man, is it nice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be really nice. I drove by it when they had basically gotten the frame up, but you could see how massive it was going to be. And I was like, whoa. And then Ricky was there, I guess, earlier in the year, and, it was pretty much almost done, and said, it's a palace.
Yeah.
There's no other way to put it. It's a palace. I'm surprised you're not watching some hoops. We got hoops on right now.
NBA. Oh, really?
Yeah. Miami leads.
Hoops has been fun.
Miami leads Indiana 51-48. Just started the third quarter. So
the Dallas is playing really well in their series. They look like they're going to challenge the Clippers. I think that series is going to go pretty deep. Luka Doncic, there's some fun guys that are just, as individuals, this is always something that when the NBA is on, they have going for them, the individual guys that you turn on the TV, you see this guy's playing, and you say, wow, I enjoy watching. Let's watch this guy. You know, you may not be a fan of the team, but there are some guys that have that going right now. Doncic is exciting. How about Boban? How funny is that guy? Where did they find this character? You ever heard him in an interview?
No.
Oh, you've got it. Darren, you got to check this guy out. This guy is a character. I can't even say his last name yet, but he's been hanging out with Charles Barkley and that crew. He's on some of the commercials, if you see. He's kissing the basketballs in the promo that ESPN runs with Jalen Rose and those guys. It's that guy.
What is he, like Serrano in Major League? Does he have Joe Boo?
You could say that. He's got a little of that. He's got a little bit of that going.
Okay. Talking about kissing basketball.
He's got like a old George Murison look to him. He's just extremely tall. Like way tall. And he's got the European accent. He's just a character right out of a movie.
This is for the Mavericks?
Yes.
Yeah,
and they've also got Porzingis as well.
Right. Who got unfairly tossed in a game already.
Right. They might have won both of the games had that not happened. But
yeah,
they won
weak.
The second game pretty easy.
Yeah. I actually saw him in highlights. I didn't know who he was, but I just said, who is that massive guy? And he's even got an awkward shot because he's so big. It's almost like he's just like kind of like just throwing it toward the rim. You know, I mean, his hand size is probably like three times the size of ours. So he just the ball looks like a Nerf ball in his hand. And so it creates kind of this awkward shot. Yeah, like a grapefruit, right. And so he just kind of like, it would be like, think about if you had a grapefruit and you were shooting a grapefruit at a basket. That's what it looks like. So I just saw him in highlights. I didn't know who he was. I'll tell you what. This bubble.
It's fun. Tonight you've got the eight seeds who each won the first game playing out there again. And Charles Barkley has said he thinks the Blazers not only will win the series against the Lakers, but sweep the Lakers.
So how did it go from the Lakers were the favorite to now they're going to get swept by the Trailblazers? How did that go? Like, nobody was saying that before this started. And then after
there's only one guy that's saying Charles is
that's really not true.
The limb. I don't.
After they lost, there were a lot of people going, I think the Blazers are now the favorite in that series. And I'm like, what? How did that happen after one game? I mean, I know Damian Lillard has been just out of his mind.
Dame Dalla.
By the way, the Blazers
incredible.
And Lakers will be on 102.5 The Game tonight at 7 o'clock.
Yeah. And I mean,
I think it's 8 o'clock, isn't it? Then the game starts at 8, I think. It's the last game.
Well, I think our coverage begins at 7.
Okay. Well, the Magic and the Bucks starts at 5, and then the last one is Portland. So you have both 8 seeds trying to go up 2-0, which would be something. But I think people are looking at the Lakers. They haven't played well, and the same thing is true for the Bucks. They haven't played well at all since they've been in Orlando, period. Whereas Portland, in particular, has been incredible. If you watched any of the games between Portland and the Grizzlies, you came away saying, hey, man, the Grizzlies played really well, but they still couldn't win because the Blazers hit big shot after big shot. The Lakers lack those guys. Like when LeBron drives and kicks, they don't have the reliable guys that are just going to knock down that open three like you have to have these days. And that's become a big inhibitor right now.
But that's my point, though. Like, everybody was predicting the Lakers or the Clippers to win it. And the Bucks. I mean, it was like those three, and now those conversations have kind of shifted. Like, nobody is now all in on the Lakers like they were. And it's the first
round.
They
don't look right.
Yeah. But as we've seen in the NHL, that you let those good teams have one good game and kind of wake up, then it changes everything. And I think
that's what we're going to see. Can they get to the new level? Can they get to another level? Because Portland right now has got a good thing going. Man, they're playing well.
They are definitely playing well. I also saw where this NFL season sideline reporters and pregame TV people, all that, they will not have field access. So all the on-the-field stuff that you're accustomed to seeing on Sunday mornings when they cut away on NFL Network and ESPN and all the channels, CBS and Fox, and they go to their field reporter at a game. That won't be the case this year.
Not surprising.
So will they be in the stadium? Will they be allowed in the stadium, or is it not even worth having them in the stadium?
I don't think they will be. I think it's going to be like what we're seeing for baseball,
right,
hockey, and everything else, right? That's what it feels like.
If you can't talk, if you can't communicate with people on the field. Now, maybe you could walk down there if you're Aaron Andrews or whoever, pick you know, who your sideline reporter of choice is. I guess you could yell down, like Paul Bird from right field says he talks to Ronald Acuna between, hey, nice job. You know, there's nobody in the stadium, so could that reporter go down to the first row of the stadium and say, hey, coach, what did you think of your team's play in the first half? Can you get the running game going in the second half? You know, if you had a long enough microphone, could you do that? I don't know. Like, I wonder how they'll try to do that.
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no, too.
I love the idea, but I'm going to say no.
But you see on the basketball court, right, somebody, the interviewer has this really long microphone thing that looks like a fishing pole or something, and they reach across and they do the interview.
That's what NASCAR
I guess
has done.
If you were standing in the stands, it goes back to your tirade yesterday, Darren. It's reasonable if you stay far enough apart. Why couldn't you do that?
Yeah, I mean, well, because we've seen it. Like, that's what NASCAR's done. That's what they've done in basketball. I mean, they it's called a boom mic, and so they have the mic on a boom, and you have somebody that's holding that. The interviewer is holding their own mic, asking the questions, and speaking loud enough that the person can hear them, and then you're fine. So I do agree. Now, I understand not wanting as many people on the sidelines. You just want the essential personnel.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
But could you not have, you know, Aaron Andrews or whoever, the front row of the stands or in the tunnel or what have you, to do some of these things? I do understand that part, or agree with you on that part, that you could potentially have that.
All right, we will come back.
I wonder, too, what the actual team personnel, how will they try to reconfigure those people, right? The trainers, all the staff, you know, the offensive line goes and sits on a bench, real tight quarters, you know, they huddle up. I wonder what they'll do with those things. Remember how people made fun of the baseball manual, how thick the manual was of things you can't do? Football's got to think about those things. Like, usually you're between the 30 and the 30, right? Do they spread them out further? Do they create more space for trainers to hang out so that you're not standing shoulder to shoulder along the sideline? That's a fair question.
Well, Anthony Lynn brought it up in the second episode of Hard Knocks, even in, like, their warm-ups. Like, he was telling, like, the trainers and stuff, like, spread them out. Like, normally we do them on these hash marks or this line. Spread them out. Use the whole field if we have to. And just their warm-up. So he addressed that in the latest episode of Hard Knocks. All right, I want to talk to you about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. You've heard me talk about them for years because I've been going there and seeing them for years. They've been helping me for years, and they've been helping a lot of you here in Middle Tennessee since all the way back in 2007. That's how long they've been around. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is the board-certified physician over there. His wife, Daphne, is the registered nurse, and their experienced staff want to help you improve your quality of life. And whether it's hormone replacement therapy, maybe you've been feeling off lately or sluggish, just haven't felt right, get in there and get your numbers checked. Maybe, you know, as you get older, naturally, that can slip, and it can get to low levels to why you're feeling that way, and they can certainly help boost your levels and get you feeling normal again. Face and body rejuvenation, weight loss management, which is really, really important these days. I get it. Maybe your gym has been closed for a lot over the last 6 months, and you've just gotten out of your routine. Understandable. But they've got people and programs right there on site that can get you going in the right direction. If you need to schedule a consultation or an appointment, dial this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always learn everything about them by going to their website, coolspringsmd.com. So Chase wants to end on a little quiz for us. Baseball jersey numbers, or is it number?
Yes. I figured you guys would appreciate this because I just saw this. So the last jersey number that had never been worn in a major league game, that has now happened. 0 through 99 at some point in history has now been worn. Did you guys see this? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I do not.
Okay.
No.
So can you take a guess of that number that hasn't been used before I tell you what it is?
It's finally been used. There was literally a number that has never been used.
Yeah, actually, going into the 2020 season, there were three that had never been used. And last night, or today, it will happen. The last number will be used.
Wow.
I thought this was interesting.
Is it between 90 and 99?
It's between 80 and 99.
Okay.
I mean, I just. Ooh.
So I'll
just totally guessing.
I'll help you out.
Yeah.
I'll help you out a little bit. So before today, like I said, there were three going into the season that had never been used. 86 and 92 were two of the three.
That got used.
Got used.
98?
I really have no idea. Yeah, so you're better off just telling us.
89. The
okay.
Yankees called up Miguel Yajure. He's 22. He's a 22-year-old pitcher. He will wear number 89. And so now every number 0 through 99 has been used in the majors.
Even double. I know there's even been a double 0.
Yep.
So double 0 through 99.
Was Judge the first 99?
And Darren, I don't know if you. Well, I was going to say, I don't know if he was the first.
So
no,
Taguchi.
Mitch Williams wore 99 years ago.
Who used 99?
Yeah, so Taguchi is a good one, Max.
So Taguchi for the Cardinals.
Okay. And then Man
and Mitch Williams, the wild thing, he was 99.
Manny Ramirez used it with the Dodgers.
But you know what I'm seeing, Darren? Well, tell me if you're seeing this.
Good point.
On the youth league fields, are you seeing a lot of 99s? I'm seeing 99s everywhere. Aaron Judge is having a lot of influence.
No.
I think a lot of people are saying, I want to be like Aaron Judge. I see a lot of 99s out there.
Okay. No, I haven't noticed that.
It's fun to see that. Because, like, when I was growing up, you know, you saw a lot of – there were 25s, there were 21s, there were 10s, you know, for Chipper and Sosa, and you saw 24. I mean, you see that as these players are big time, you know, a lot of kids, they want to emulate them, so they'll try and do their batting stance and their swings and also wear their numbers, and it's just fun to see that. But, yeah, Willie, I'm sure – you know, I don't know because obviously I'm not in it like you guys are, but I would imagine there are a lot of 99s.
That is interesting. No, I have not noticed that on our level.
Do you let your players, Darren, pick their number?
Yeah. Yep. I do.
Okay, so nobody on your team has selected 99. Maybe it's kids a little older. I don't know. I notice on a lot of teams where you can choose your number. I see a lot of 99s, and it's got to be for Aaron Judge. I don't know any other reason.
Maddox picked 25, is that right?
25. The highest number we had on our team was 53, and that kid just left to move to Virginia. That was the family I was telling you about. So that makes now this kid Tyler on our team, he's now has the highest number, 42, which I love that he's 42.
Oh, that's cool. So
that's the highest number on our team.
Like, does Maddox have a reason why he picked 25, or he just say like 25?
I don't.
I mean, I know he's 8, so.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's a story behind it. Yeah, I don't know why. I just let them pick. So that's the number he wanted. I don't know if there's a story behind it.
In my very very limited sports career, I always tried to play to wear 3 because obviously Dale Earnhardt. But I know some people have numbers that, you know, they like for whatever reason, and some just don't care.
Yeah, I think everybody has my go-to number was 34. That's the number I usually
was
always
it for a player?
Used.
Was it Chuck?
Yeah, I told you guys. I was a huge Charles Barkley fan. Huge Charles Barkley fan as a player. I mean, I absolutely idolized Charles Barkley, especially with the Sixers. So I used 34.
So it was always the
lot.
One number. I bounced around. I sprayed it around a lot, depending if it was basketball or baseball or a particular season. I remember choosing 30 for Bernard King 1 year for basketball. I was really watching him a lot. I loved the, I liked the Knicks back then. I chose 16 for Dwight Gooden 1 year. But it was kind of like a combination of Gooden and Frank Viola. Those were the two guys. Both wore 16. I was like, oh, I'm going with 16. So it's different every year. I love what goes through a kid's mind, though, when you pick your number. Like, what's the thought process? I think that's one of the fun things about being a kid playing sports. If you get to choose your number, what do you choose and why?
So you can imagine, in fourth grade was the only year I played basketball. Like I said, short-lived sports career for a reason. But so at that time, you can imagine the most popular number that people wanted to wear. It's 23. And so our coach made us, we had like a, we had practice, and he basically, it was whoever, he made it a competition to get that number, because there were like six of us that wanted 23. So he made it, whoever had the best practice got to wear 23 for the year because of Jordan. Which I look at that and I go, okay, that's a great idea. you get everything out of your kids for that practice.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I never chose 20. Like I said, that same era, I would go 34 all day. I went 34 over 23. But actually, I've told the story on the air that same kid, Tyler, he's 42, and I love that he's a number. The number that he originally picked, and his dad's like, we're not doing that number, was Altuve's number. I've told that story on the air, and he's like, yeah, we're not going to have – he's not wearing Altuve's number. Because of the whole, after the whole scandal broke and just how Altuve handled it and the Astros, and he's like, he's not
taboo.
Wearing that number. Yeah. So he's like, don't give him that.
Then you have certain teams. You have certain teams too that the numbers are only like numbered through 1 through 12, or depending on how many people, 1 through 15, depending on how many people are on your team, and you're just stuck with those numbers. And you're like, well, wait a minute, I like wearing number 24. Well, sorry. Our numbers go from 1 through 15, so here's your choice. And then other times the coach will just give you the jersey. Here's your jersey, here's your number, deal with it.
Yeah.
You're like, wait a minute, I don't like this number. Sorry.
So you don't have a 27 on your team?
No. Nope.
Because that's also Trout, isn't it?
Have 22, 23, 24, 25, 29. Don't have a 27.
I just think that it's fun. It's fun talking about why you wear a number. I remember there was we had a group text about that one time with Hal and why you picked your number.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was one of our replay. Yeah, one of the Predators Golden Classic discussions during the game. That was fun.
Well, I thought that was interesting, because in as long as baseball has been around, I found it very hard to believe that not every number had been used until
today. Yeah, me too. Me too. That actually really surprises me.
That is a cool. Now, you know, Jason Stark's going to be all over that.
Sure. Well, I read it on the MLB app, so you can check that out.
I did notice that NC State has now said that they are going to move their classes now, undergraduate in-person courses, to online beginning next week. So they joined North Carolina. So that's now two schools in the ACC. They plan on playing football, and remember the first school, the coach was, Mac Brown, was very excited about that, because it's like, great, we get to now have our own bubble on campus. The kids won't be here, and I don't have to worry about my players going to parties and this and that. And so I wonder if NC State is – I wonder if this is where this is possibly going, if you want to try to pull off a football season. Just throwing that out there.
I think so.
Me too.
Just day by day, day by day.
All right. Today's news.
It is closing time. That will do it for us. You enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. to close out the week. We'll see you then.